are about to hear a life-changing message preached at the Qadesh Family Church in Memphis by the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. In this Sunday's message, Reverend Lindsay continues preaching on how to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In this message, he teaches us, just like a serpent who has had to overcome many handicaps, how to have the power to overcome your handicaps. You will hear about five key principles on overcoming the handicaps in your life, and you will learn not just how to survive them, but how to have the supernatural strength of God to overcome. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this powerful word.
Holds no promises, you're at an all-time low. Whatever you do is just not enough. You feel like giving up, thoughts of cashing it all in. Every situation is a no win. I know someone who's there. On him you can cast your burden. To him you can give your care, 'cause he's more than a friend, a true friend, who will love you at all times, more than a friend, more than a friend, a real friend, sticks closer than a brother, more than a friend to me. Sometimes I feel discouraged, thoughts of turning back, questioning my destiny, wondering when I could be free. To the top, it seemed I'd made it. Inside, my heart was breaking, my mountain seemed too high to climb, but he was with me all the time. I know someone who him you can give your care, 'cause he's more than a friend, a real friend, who will love you at all times, more than a friend. Oh, he's more than a friend to me, more than a friend, a true friend, sticks closer than a brother, more than a friend. Pay you for what you've done, I never could. How can I replace you? I never would, 'cause you're the only one for me.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. more than a friend to us. Amen. That is our God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are ready. Hallelujah. I hope you are ready. We here in church, we are ready to receive the word of God from our very own, amen, our in-house pastor, our in-house father, our in-house shepherd. So I want each and every one of us to rise to your feet and give your very best hallelujah with a round of applause and welcome our very own Reverend Kojo Orley Lindsay.
Hallelujah. Woo! I said hallelujah. Can I hear some amen from somebody?
Amen. Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says that
amen.
Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will, our job is we will rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah.
Wow.
All right. I mean, the only way you shouldn't rejoice is if you can make a day, if you can create a day.
I know I can.
If you know that the day was created by the Lord, then you should be able to rejoice with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
That's right.
You see that? He will. In fact, the verse before is even nicer. It says that this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in my eye, in our eyes. All right. So the thing is that if you know, Bible says, whatever the Lord shall do shall be forever. If you know that this is what the Lord made, mine is not to grumble, mine is to look at it. Have you not noticed that all the problems that you just silence yourself, shut yourself in the room, and you just had a pity party, you could never could do anything about it?
In fact, I didn't enjoy the party.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Any day that you waste is never coming back again.
It's true.
Have you seen tomorrow before? That's my favorite question. Have you seen tomorrow before? Tomorrow never comes for anybody.
Never.
If you don't have the right attitude about today, tomorrow will come. Your attitude of what you called yesterday will be carried over to the following day. And you realize you get the same results. Because really, the way you treat today is what makes the next today better, not tomorrow. Today is a blessing. This is the day the Lord has made.
Yes.
This day is never going to come again.
No.
You let it go past. It's over. You wasted it. Make use of it today so that you don't say, you don't look back and say, oh, wasted, how foolish. Anybody who said wasted, how foolish, you are right. You wasted the years because you're foolish.
Mercy.
The years were not foolish today. Years. You apply foolishness to the years. So I've decided not to let anything like that bother me. And today, what we're going to share will make you understand why I'm saying that. Shall we close our eyes in a short prayer? Heavenly Father, we bless your name. We thank you. We give you glory. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, our teacher, guide, and a friend. Lord, when you gave us Jesus Christ, he died for our sins. When he left, he sent forth the Holy Spirit to guide us to do what we ought to do to serve you. We come with zeal. We come with joy. We come with expectation. We come in faith. We come rejoicing because we are here to serve our God. Your word says, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Speak to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Shall I hear a better amen?
Amen.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say one or two things before we go to the word. I want you to know that in about 2 weeks' time, about 3 weeks, is Easter. So what we want to do, Jesus Christ, the week before Easter, he did something. He marched. He marched what we call Palm Sunday. He marched on a donkey with a lot of people singing Hosanna. And then they actually, he went to Jerusalem to die for you and for me. For which reason, we also want to march souls to make his death meaningful. So in this march, in this month of March, we are marching souls to Jesus. We call it
Amen.
March Them to Jesus Sunday. The Palm Sunday, that's a theme. Ah, I thought you would clap for such a beautiful
time. I love it.
Time. March them to Jesus. Mm. So everyone, please, if the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is what Easter is about, means anything to you, then make it worthwhile by inviting a friend, a loved one, to hear the gospel, the good news, that they don't have to die in their sins, that they don't have to walk in guilt and shame, that they don't have to lead their own life, but the Bible is there to guide them. The Holy Spirit is there to guide them. The love of God is there to assure them. Mm. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. Therefore, please plan it. Next week goes past. The following week, we are coming for March Them to Jesus Sunday. Hallelujah. That's our
story. Amen.
How appropriate it is for the month of March, M-A-R-C-H, and it is for the marching with palm.
Wow.
With palm Sunday, when Jesus and all who follow Jesus marched with him, and they convinced other people that this is the Christ. And this he went and died and actually made it worthwhile. We want to follow that and do well. So it's in 2 weeks' time. I just want to announce it to you. Now, the time has changed. So I can see that a few of us have difficulty adjusting to the time. So perhaps next week, what look out, we're going to give you the time. You know, instead of starting 11 Central, we may start a little later. I am not sure. We're going to have a meeting and make a decision. So please note it. Okay. It means you're going to have a little more rest before we start. We may start instead of 11 Central or, you know, instead of 11 Central, we may start at 12 Central or 11:30, but the decision will come to you. Just be aware and we'll send the messages across. Okay. So very, very important. The time is likely to change. It's likely to change because our shift in 1 hour has made it difficult to participate in the flow unity service with our bishop. And we're trying to adjust our time so that we can enjoy that to the full. So I suspect that it's going to be starting from 12 midday Central Time, which means 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So look out for that. Whatever the time, look, 1 hour before, 1 hour after, all we want is the man Jesus. Whatever time it is, it's not an issue. And it shouldn't be an issue to you. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Well, let's go straight to the word. We are talking about being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Wise as serpents and yet harmless as doves. Okay. Now, what does that mean? We learned from the Bible in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. The Bible says that, behold, I'm leaving you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Okay, Matthew 10, 16. Behold, I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, what that means is that Jesus Christ, when he gives you the ability to live a righteous life, to live a life of hope, to live a life of confidence, to live a life of strength, a life that you are not the one, you are not just by yourself, you are protected. He says he will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, everybody is trying to have independence, but one thing you will never have independence of is your creator, is your creator. Just like in a job place, You can be independent all you want. Your boss has control, and you must be subject and submitted to the person who pays for what you live by. You know, you may not realize that the food you eat, your rent, all comes from your job. And Amen. Therefore, you must be submitted to that person who's your boss, who created that atmosphere. The same way that our breath comes from the Lord. Therefore, if we say we are not submitted to the Lord, we are probably not thinking right. Ladies and gentlemen, what he's saying is that when Jesus Christ came to die, he sent us forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Yeah. Let me tell you, the world is a dangerous place.
Man.
People who want to live right, people who want to do the right thing, people who want to live righteously. Bible says, any man that shall live righteously shall suffer persecution. It's not an easy life. It's not an easy thing to live righteously. And to the other person, oh no, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to get married before we get into your room. It's not an easy thing. And you look funny. Bible says that he has sent us, you know, as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, he has given us strategies to survive. Now, that strategy, I dare say that many people are applying it, even those who don't know Jesus. He said the strategy is to be as wise as serpents and yet as harmless as the dove. Okay? Now, if you think about it, when he says be wise as serpents, he's trying to tell you a strategy of survival and to making it. So the whole thing about being wise as serpents is a mentality change, a mindset transformation. Now, a lot of your life as it stands now is actually a product of various decisions you have made that has brought you to this point. So your
That's
life
correct.
Is a product of your mindset and your thinking. Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you want to change somebody, you change the person by changing the person's thinking. If you want to let somebody become upgraded as a human being, you don't just put clothes on the person and you put lipstick and all kinds of, you decorate, you buy a wig, you replace the hair, you buy some stuffings, you replace the breast, you buy whatever and you replace, and then the person looks different.
Correcting the outside.
Just let the person go and take a shower and come back. Everything will go off.
Mercy.
But when you invest in the person's mind, that person is changed forever.
Transformed.
Yes. That's right.
That is why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
So that you become that good and acceptable and you perform the perfect will of God. Don't just follow the crowd, but be transformed. Look, my father did one thing. My father never went to school to the point that I went to, but he was smart enough to realize that he cannot change me by his money.
Right.
Therefore, he invested the money in my brain. He invested the money in my thinking, took me to school, through school, and finished, even when he didn't go. He has allowed me to do far better than he did because he invested in the right place. God wants to invest in your thinking.
Amen.
God wants to invest in your wisdom. Wisdom is how to. Wisdom is how to. Therefore, I like not just information. Information is knowledge. But wisdom is how to use the knowledge for the desired result. And understanding, which is an extended advanced version of wisdom, is why. Why? To understand why you do things the way you do. May God not just give you. You see, so knowledge is in books, but wisdom is an impartation. Wisdom is a gift. Wisdom is an investment. And therefore, Bible says, be ye wise as serpents and yet as harmless as the dove. What the Lord is saying is that I'm going to give you a kind of wisdom, a transformational wisdom that will make you like the serpent. Why is it that the serpent, when we think of snakes, we get fear. Snakes? I should become a snake? No. There's something about snakes that is different from the way you are thinking. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1, God and the serpent was more subtle or wiser or smarter than all the beasts of the field which the Lord had made, all creation.
A survival.
The smartest was a serpent. The smartest was a serpent. So God is saying more subtle. That word is smart, cunning, able to do things that you don't expect. So God wants to make you, you know, give you subtlety and wisdom of the serpent. Now, the thing about the serpent that you don't want to have is its ability to harm. So God is upgrading you to the most subtle, yet the most harmless.
Mm.
That is, your wisdom is not going to harm people. There are people that they are so smart that by the time they finish with you, you have finished.
Mm.
Yeah.
Destroyed.
So that you are destroyed. They can take your identity. They can identity theft. They can take your virginity. They can take your spouse. There are some people you interact with them and they know your bank account. You're finished. Their smartness is harmful.
Correct.
And God says he's going to make a combination of the wisest beast on the earth, the wisest creation on the earth, and yet the most harmful, which is the dove. You know, the dove is the bird that most people like, is no harm, beautiful, easy, and adorable. You see that? The dove is harmless. I mean, vulture
is beautiful too.
It's beautiful too. It's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, one of the nicknames I've given to the sweetest lady in my life is Dove.
Yeah,
that's one of her nicknames.
My
dove. It's true. I coined it because I saw that the dove is the Holy Spirit, is the most humble, is the most harmless. The Bible says that the virtuous woman, her husband, she does good to her husband. And so when I saw that I'm going to live with this beautiful lady for life, I said, my goodness, I should look for the most harmless creature, because when I sleep, she may be awake. When I am snoring, she may be awake. When I'm being foolish, I need her smartness.
Ooh,
when I hurt her, I need somebody who is forgiven. So yes. I look for the best, and I got the word dove. So I don't call her baby. I don't call her whatever the words that you call. Hi, chocolate. Hi, chocolate.
Honey.
Honey can dry out, but a dove is a virtue. It's a virtue.
Amen.
A virtuous woman. Who can find her prize is above rubies. Therefore, God wants to give you a prize above rubies. God wants to implant in you virtues associated with wisdom. Therefore, Amen. He gave you the dove and gave you the wisdom of the serpents. So last week, we learned that one aspect of the serpent that when you learn, so we are now becoming students of serpents.
Hmm.
We don't run away from serpents anymore.
No way.
Amen.
No, we don't run away from serpents. We admire them. We learn from them. We are students of serpentology. Serpentological. Yes. Hallelujah. It's our month of serpentine studies.
Amen.
And Davism.
Amen.
Somebody say serpentology and divology.
Serpentology and divology.
Serpentology and divology. That's what we are studying this month. We are going to the school of serpents and doves. Hallelujah. Mm. So last week we learned that the serpent, one of the things that has made him survive the longest and made him the most prolific, it is one of the things that they survive every terrain, every condition. They live long. They even transform themselves. They can change their coats. They can change their skin, you know, and they are very strong. And the thing that makes them strong is not their color, but it's their mouth, mouth. When you are trying to kill and they lift and they spit into your eyes or they bite, you can be paralyzed. So they have power in their mouth.
Yes.
So last week, we learned about how to master the power of the tongue using the serpent strategy. And we learned that most of your life is dictated by your words. And we learned in James chapter 3 that just like a ship so big is directed by just a rudder.
And
a huge horse is directed by putting pits in the mouth. That's the same way that your tongue directs your whole body, your whole life. Okay? That rudder directs the whole ship which is like a huge hotel on water, right? But, and the horse is so strong, but you can direct using the bits, turn it this way, so strong. That's why we use the thing horse power, because the animal that's the strongest is the horse power. All right. So the same way we learned that ships are controlled so great. Behold also the ships, which they be so great, and they are driven by fierce winds, yet they can be controlled by the very small helm or the rudder, whatever the government wants it to go. Okay. So we want to say that also our lives, the tongue is so small out of the elements of the body, like the verse says, but it directs your whole life.
Yeah. Mercy.
It directs your whole life. Okay. That's the tongue. That's the mouth. So you can see the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, that life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Of the tongue.
And they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Yeah. Go and say something at your workplace. You can easily be fired.
Oh, yeah.
Go and say something wrong at the wrong time to your spouse. Your whole atmosphere in the house can change.
It can cost you your life.
It can cost you your life. Yep. It can cost you. You see, President Trump just made a statement that we can stand and we can accept this. He just made, I'm going to lead you to the Capitol. He didn't even lead them.
That's right.
He went home.
That's those words. He went home. But his words nearly cost him an ability to actually come on again.
It's freedom.
Impeachment. That's right. And whatever it is that you, it was not easy. Words. President Cuomo, some few words he said to some little girls. Mm. Today, he's almost gone, if he's not gone already, you know? Now, a little word that I said to a little lady, Sister Ariel, my wife, today has made me a husband. That's today has made me a father. Just a word. I love you, baby.
Well, we'll
I'm marry you, baby. Has just transformed everything. Ladies and gentlemen, last week we talked about the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. You see? So this week we want to move forward. If you want to listen to the whole sermon, next you can get it online. This week we want to move on to another power. Another power. Okay. We want to talk about serpents, the masters at overcoming handicaps.
Oh, wow. Powerful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Serpents, we said they have power in their mouth. This week we are learning serpents, power to overcome handicaps.
Wow.
Handicaps. Ladies and gentlemen, if there is an animal that is most handicapped, it's a serpent. It is the serpent. Yet it is the animal that survives the longest, the animal that is feared the most. Look, there was a group of buffaloes on the Animal Planet we were watching that were all together. Now, a cobra just whisked through. They just separated the way. Everybody just moved until the cobra passed. Even when the cobra passed, they could not come together because they were afraid that he had carved a pathway that they should not be on. Wow. Well respected, well feared. That is that animal. But let's look at it carefully. How come that he's so respected, stays so long? Because he has mastered how to overcome its handicaps. Let me tell you something about the snake that will surprise you about the serpent. They have no legs.
That's true.
That's true.
They have no arms. But you do. They have no, did you know that they don't see? They have eyes, but they don't see.
They don't see too well.
No, they don't see too well. Uh-uh. If you want a blind animal from birth through life, that's the serpent. That's the snake. You see, so they have some cuticular thing over their eyes. They don't see, but they're they've managed to develop senses such that you can't easily beat them.
That's right.
They are deaf. They can't hear, but they've developed other senses such that if a snake is going and you make just a little rustle, that's why they are so silent when they are moving, because they have no legs to ruffle anything, no arms. They just quietly, but they are surviving. Mm-hmm. You have ears, on the heat. You have eyes, you have legs, you have feet, yet you complain that you are the most disadvantaged. Wow. Now, today, the Lord is going to teach you how to overcome every handicap like a serpent and make it, not only survive, but actually make it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Wow. Okay, so
I want to show you what a handicap is, and I'm going to show you somebody for 4 minutes. A handicap is something that severely limits your ability to do what you want to do.
That's true.
A handicap is something that makes you different from others. So let's say you don't have arms. You're different. You're handicapped. Yeah. You're handicapped. All right? Now, a handicap is a disadvantage that makes success more difficult.
Definitely.
A handicap is a physical or social disability that makes your participation in ministry, in work, at school, not possible or difficult.
That's right.
I am going to show you many of us who complain. Me, I'm a woman. I'm handicapped. I wish I was born a man. Some of you who say you are men, women are always having the advantage. When they go, they say lady first. You have a problem. You are overemphasizing your handicap.
Wow.
Those of us who say you are black or you're white, you're overemphasizing your color as a handicap. Most young people want, the day I'll grow up. When I grow up, they see their youthfulness as a handicap until they grow. And then they say the good old days. I wish I was still young. I was still having pocket money from my daddy. My children keep saying that.
It's true. Yeah. Daddy, help
me. Now they are managing their own money in school, far away. And when I speak to them, you won't believe it. The air conditioner, where they live, air conditioner is on. I've told them, turn it on when you want to. But they pay their bills. They decided not to turn the air conditioner on, even when it's hot.
Suddenly wisdom has come.
I said, So now they wish that I would rather have kept them and paid their bills so that they can enjoy anything. Ladies and gentlemen, handicap is relative. Mm-hmm. People with handicaps are making it. Snakes have survived and made it. Let me show you a physically handicapped person and how successful he has become before I show you. Ladies and gentlemen, let the 4 minute video roll. Watch this. Don't go anywhere. Watch this. This is Pastor Chris from Australia. No arms, no legs.
I wasn't ready. I have no arms and no legs, but I'm very thankful that I have my little chicken drumstick here. People freak out when they see me for the first time. It's so cool. I was at a water slide all by myself. Everyone obviously at the bottom of the slide is looking up and waiting for other people to come down. And here I come and they're freaking out. They're like, like this. And I was so tempted to look at myself and go, what happened? You know? And there were times where I sort of looked at my life and thinking, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. And you keep on concentrating on the things that you wish you had or the things that you wish you didn't have. And you sort of forget what you do have. And there's no point, I believe, in my life where I wish I had arms, legs, I wish I had arms, legs, I wish I had arms, legs, because wishing won't help. But what I've seen in life are just a couple key principles. And the first thing that I've seen is to be thankful. It's hard to be thankful, man. I tell you, when I was 8 years old, I sort of summed up my life and thought, I'm never going to get married. I'm not going to have a job. I'm not going to have a life of purpose. What kind of a husband am I going to be if I can't even hold my wife's hand? It's a lie to think that you're not good enough. It's a lie to think that you're not worth anything.
One point.
Freezing, I can't feel my hands. I love life. You know, so many people come and say, how come you smile so much? And I'm like, well, it's a long story. But it's very simple at the same time. You see, it's very hard to smile sometimes in life. There are things that happen that you don't know and you don't understand, and you don't know if you're going to get through it. You know, you go through your storms in life and you don't know how long this storm is going to be. And today I want to share with you some principles that I've learned in my life that you can use in yours. Being patient is beautiful. I tell you, it's the hardest thing. But I realize I may not have hands to hold my wife's hand, but when the time comes, I'll be able to hold her heart. I don't need hands to hold her heart. You know, it is scary to know how many girls have eating disorders. It is scary to know how many people are just angry at life because of their situation at home and angry at others. It's scary to know how many people actually feel like they're worth nothing. Every single girl right here, right now, I want you to know that you are beautiful. You are gorgeous just the way you are. And you boys, you're the man.
Oh.
On this DVD, I share my experiences in life of how I've overcome challenges and seen a new, fresh perspective in life. To be thankful, to dream big, and to never give up. I speak to children, youth, and adults about key issues and principles that I've applied in my life that has given me the strength to conquer all that comes before me.
Wow. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord Jesus? No arms, no legs, no problem. No arms, no legs, no problem. Liz, you can also call this message, no arms, no legs, no problem. The serpent has no arms, no legs, but has no problem. Now, I want you to, then we're going to learn about a few skills about overcoming handicaps. Number one, I want to read
this. This is my message.
Yeah, read. I don't know what handicap. Some of you are thinking of your handicap. No money, no problem. I mean, no education, no problem. How to overcome that? Now, let me read this scripture. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Jesus was speaking to his church and he told them, you will need to overcome some things. He spoke, Revelation 2, 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And he said, to him that overcometh will I give the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Ladies and gentlemen, God is saying, even for you to get to heaven, you need to overcome. You need the overcomer's mentality to even live this Christian life. And he said, you will be rewarded for the things you overcome. As I'm here as a Christian, as a pastor, I've had to overcome my job responsibilities, my responsibilities as a father, because that's what brings the rewards. Because I've overcome all these odds, that's why you gather on Sunday. Look at you, more than 200 people listening to a physician who perhaps I don't even have the theological training, but I've overcome by the grace of God. And there's a reward. God is going to reward everybody. Your Christianity will suffer, very difficult times, persecution. The Bible says that those who overcome, I will reward. I will let them eat of the tree, which is in the midst, tree of life.
Wow.
That which Adam and Eve missed. They could not overcome Satan. They could not overcome the first temptation. Therefore, they had the tree of knowledge of good and evil prematurely. The next tree was a tree of life. They could not, because they couldn't overcome the first barrier.
That's
what
right.
is it that you are handicapped in? The Bible says when you overcome, the reason why there are handicaps is because there are rewards.
Amen.
Be motivated by the reward, not Amen. Be degraded by the handicap. A handicap can so discourage you that you don't even see the reward of overcoming it.
Wow.
I will stay with you. Therefore, sometimes the living of this Christian life can be so daunting that you forget that at the end of the day, the winners will be rewarded. Now, to overcome means to prevail. To overcome means to be victorious. To overcome means to surmount or to overpower.
Yeah.
To overcome means to win, to make it. That is the make it mentality. Whenever you see handicaps, is those who overcome who are rewarded. So number one is that when you overcome, you get rewarded. I'm talking to you about the reward so that you will understand why you need to overcome that handicap. Yes. The next thing is another scripture in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 17. It says, to him again that overcometh, I will give. Okay, let me read the whole verse. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying again to the churches, to this church, to Lighthouse. To him that overcomes, I will give to each of the hidden manna. That is provision. God says, number one, if you overcome, you get rewards. Number two, you get provision to eat of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone, and the stone of the, there will be a new name written, which no man knows except the one who has received it. Now, listen to this. Overcomers, they are the ones who are able to experience things that are hidden from others. Your handicap can cause you not to see things you should have seen. Sometimes that word hidden is relative. It's hidden because of your handicap. Just like the sick, it may not see the thing, but it believes that it is there and it jumps for it. It feels you are there, you are a threat, and it attacks. So the overcomers, they get access to the hidden manna, God's provision. Many people who say there is no God and he doesn't provide and he doesn't answer prayer, it's because they haven't overcome maybe the handicap of faithlessness, the handicap of just wanting, making time to be where you are. That is why you say it doesn't exist. That is why you say it's not real. That's why you say God, it doesn't exist. Many unbelievers have not overcome that handicap, and therefore they never get the hidden manna. They don't believe there is manna. They don't believe there's supernatural supply from the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I am a shining example of a supernatural life.
Amen.
Hidden manna.
Amen.
And I'll tell you my story. And the Bible says that he'll give you a white stone. In those days, when you go to the law court, there are two stones. They give you the black stone, you are condemned.
Yeah.
They give you the white stone, you are vindicated, and you are restored. God says that when you overcome, your handicap, not only will you see the hidden manna that people doubted, you'll be an example. In addition, you will have the stone, the white stone. That white stone, look, today we are preaching not only to our branch, we're also preaching to Richmond, Virginia. Put your hands together for them.
Oh, wow.
Welcome,
and they'll be here with us next week as well. Hallelujah. So, I mean, I thank God for the life of Reverend Wilmot and Lady Pastor Maranatha, and then Lady Pastor Cordelia, who are members, you know, pastors of the church. They invited me to preach for the next 3 weeks. So next 3 weeks, we are going to be a double church here. And put your hands together.
Hey, welcome.
Thank God for your life. So Reverend and your Lady Pastors, God bless you. So as I was saying, a white stone is what you get, a stone of vindication, a stone that takes you away from the condemnation. Handicap will condemn you to nothingness, to the ground. When you focus on your handicap, you will never have the white stone of vindication. You will never have the white stone of restoration. And then finally, another scripture, Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. That is status, proximity with God. Even as I also overcame, and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. Ladies and gentlemen, this is for Christians. Everything that is standing against your Christianity, you think you are handicapped in prayer, overcome it. You think you are handicapped in faith, overcome it. Decide to overcome it. You think you are handicapped in the word of God, Bible reading, decide to move in. And listen, if you don't believe it, I don't blame you, because the manna is hidden. Israel, they were told, God said, I've given you the land, but you must contend. Although I've given you, you must contend. I wish you can bring this scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 2, I believe it's verse 24. Mm-hmm. He told them, I've given you the land, but you must contend.
That's right.
I think it was Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. If you can bring it up. Then I can read it and then we move forward. Yeah. Deuteronomy chapter 2, it says that, rise up, take your journey, pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. But God, how can you say that, Lord? You just said you have given it into my hand. You just said you've given it to me. And yet you said I should begin to possess it. Even you told me to possess it. But then before you signed off, the next statement is contend with him in battle. Ladies and gentlemen, a handicap is just an announcement that there's a battle, but you will possess, but you will make it in Jesus' name. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you a few handicaps that you may think about. Handicaps you can overcome. And then we'll talk about how to overcome them. Number one is handicap of youthfulness or age. Age, handicap of age. I'm too young. Let me tell you, David was the youngest of the brothers, but he overcame Goliath. He was the smallest, but he overcame by faith. He overcame the handicap of age. Yeah. He was handicapped. He didn't know how to fight. He didn't know how to carry the armor. King Saul tried to put the armor around him. David said, no, I have not tried this. Let me tell you, somebody may have worn the armor. Somebody may have been experienced in something. Somebody may be older, but let not your age become a hindrance. I've never allowed that to become a hindrance.
Amen.
When you see me playing with the young people, you would think, I mean, I'm not surprised that you think I'm 17 and a bit. Yeah, because I don't let my, look, even my, if you look at my head, I've shaved, look at my this, try, overcome your age. Some of you look too old.
Mercy.
Some of you, because of your age, you could have gone to school again to upgrade your status. You said, I'm too old.
Mercy.
Yeah. Let me tell you, age sends a bad message to the mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The devil, the serpent never thinks it's handicapped. We are the ones who say you have no legs, you have no, we are the ones who've gone to study. They have never written a note to us. We have studied them and we have said, this is an animal without legs, without arms, without eyes, without, and it's true. That is the problem with people who don't overcome. When Israel were sent for the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, they sent 12 spies to go and look at the land. 10 came and said, that land swallowed its own inhabitants. They are the giants of Anak. And they said something that you should never say. They said that we were like, to them, we were like grasshoppers. And even in our own eyes, we could see that we are grasshoppers before them. Look at that. Some of us discourage ourselves so much. We overemphasize the handicap. Meanwhile, the Lord had told them, go and you will overcome. Mm-hmm. Two of them decided we are well able. With the two, they were able to overcome. Let me tell you, when I was, I mean, age is not a thing that you should ever allow to overcome you. Some of us who are here must learn to go to school at your age. And you must learn to stop procrastinating. You must learn to stop, drop the excuses of age. I'm too young. I'm too old. My children, I told them, you are not too young. Life has started. And they asked me why. I said, well, your grades are a sign of your salary in future. The better grades you get, the more likely you'll be rich. I earn dollars, you earn GPA or grades. So life has started for both. Don't look at your age to say life has not started. And today they are better off. Thank God for that. So never let your age affect you. You are not too old to enroll in a school. You are not too young to marry. You are not. Okay? You are not. The next thing is having the next. So one of the handicaps is age. The second handicap is your location. Your location. People use location too much as an excuse. My job. Your location could be your job. It could be your GP, your zip code. It could be where you were born. Where you were born. It could be your city. Oh, it's because there is no snow. Oh, it's because you are from Sudan. Oh, it's because you are from Mauritania. Oh, it's because you were not born in this location. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not true. That is not true. Don't let your location hamper you at all.
Right.
I went to school in a school. When I said Kolebu Teaching Hospital, it is not even on the map in the world. That is where I went to school. I didn't go to Harvard, but I've overcome it. How many people even ask, how many patients would ask me, where did you go to school? It's never come up.
It's never come up.
Never come up. So if you use your location, where you sit, where you went to school, where you were born, where your parents are, your nationality or the lack thereof, you are missing the point. You are missing the point. You are missing the point. The next thing is your color. I've seen, and I'm tired of too many black people blaming everything color. On the government and on color. And because I'm black. Let me tell you, it's not true.
Not
black
true
actually have more advantages than whites in this land.
It's true.
The affirmative, when you go to places where they said, okay, let's give it to color. Sometimes it's our attitude.
Affirmative action.
Let's overcome the affirmative action. What do you think it was? Therefore, there are more blacks who earn scholarships, even though their GPA is lower. Many of us do not want to take advantage of it. From today, overcome that in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I've heard many people. Another thing is my past, where I was. Many people talk about slave trade. Oh, because of the slave traders, that's why we don't marry. Can you imagine? One person told me, black people, we don't marry because when in the slave trade, they took away our wives. They sent us to the field. We never saw our wives. Therefore, we never know how to bring up children.
We never
know how to stay together. It is irresponsibility that's not making you stay with your wife. It's not a slave trade.
Say it, Pastor.
Say it, real.
Man up, Mr. Man.
Man up.
Keep that woman instead of
woman
jumping
up.
From girl to
woman
girl.
Up.
Man up. And you, lady, don't just give yourself up like that.
That's
right. Have you seen the slave trade before? How many years was it? How many hundreds of years?
Why
are you claiming it? Why are you claiming it? Have you ever been a slave? Were you a slave?
No.
Were you shipped from Africa? Were you shipped on the sea? Do you have whatever on your arms?
Shackles. No shackles.
No.
Come on now.
Not on my feet either.
Let me tell you, let's take advantage. I believe that you can overdo this color thing. We can. Of course, sometimes there's an issue here and there. We all know that. But
that's
the point. Wow, can you not see that we have had a president? Obama was president of the United States.
Yes.
Yes.
You can be a president.
Mm-hmm.
Your pastor is a specialist. You can be a specialist.
You can overcome it.
You can overcome color. Why? Let it breeze. Everybody is a human being, blacks or whites, nice people, if you behave well.
Yes.
Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, it depends on you. He says that he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Stop color, stop the sex, stop whether you're a man or woman, and relate well to people. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly.
Friendly.
And there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Color is never going to be an obstacle anymore.
In Jesus' name.
Try and study hard. Try and apply. Try and behave properly. Try and speak well. Speak good. Speak even stop those swear words and speak like a gentleman and see how far you will go.
Say it, real.
Amen.
How far you will go.
You'll go far.
All the children. One person told me school is not for me because my family, they never went to school. Let me tell you something. Let me just go ahead and show you how to overcome. My time is finished almost. Me tell you, number one.
Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
Okay. How? Five principles for overcoming handicaps. Five principles. Number one. Let's go through quickly. Number one, overcome your handicaps by assuming the stance and posture of an overcomer.
Wow.
I see.
That one alone.
How do you overcome your handicaps? Assume, take on the stance and the position or posture of an overcomer.
Wow.
Just a stand.
Yeah. Wow. Take a stand that for me, I am victorious. Take a stand for me, I am victorious. Embrace handicaps with strength, not discouragement. Embrace handicaps with strength and not with discouragement. Let me tell you something why I'm saying that. I took a stand. When I was growing up, my parents both only went to high school. They had diploma. None of them went to college, neither, and no family member. That was a handicap. That was a handicap.
Yeah.
You know what I did? I took a stand. I said, me, I will overcome this high school diploma barrier that I've seen all my family members get stuck over there. I took a stand. I embraced the fact that I am at a disadvantage and therefore I need to do better.
Yes.
Therefore, I dropped nonsense at school. I dropped drugs. I did not do, and I was raised in a nightclub. I said that if I go according to this, I'm going to be wise as serpent. I'm going to embrace, accept my handicaps. I don't have legs. I don't have arms. Just like Pastor Nick just showed us. Yeah. I accepted it. He even plays golf.
Yeah.
He has 4 children. How did he do it? I don't know even how he did it.
Wow.
You have 4 children. He has more children than you. I took a stand. Bad background. I taken a stand. I'm going to go to, I studied hard.
Stand.
When I finished and I passed to go to college, my parents didn't know anything about medicine. I also decided, let me find out. I'm going to go to the highest possible because of my background. Rather, my handicap made me stronger and push harder. I went to school until I was 35 years old. That's why I like the number 35. I go. And it's been worth it. Now, I don't even remember the years of difficulty. I embraced the handicap early. I didn't get the discouragement. I accept who I am. The Bible says in Psalm 139 and verse 14, it says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well.
Right well.
That man, David, was accepting. Whatever it is, I am fearfully made. I am a wonderful person. My status is okay. I have accepted it. I'm going to overcome. It's a blessing. Wherever it is, a blessing.
Stand.
I take a stand.
Just stand.
I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous. Whatever you did was not a mistake. I take a stand. I take a stand.
God,
I take a stand.
Doesn't make mistakes.
Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Grace. Whatever it is, God has made you.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
You are male, beautiful. You are a woman. Your beauty is in your softness.
Mm-hmm.
Your beauty is in your gingerly, tender self.
Standard.
Don't think it's a handicap. It's a blessing.
It's a blessing.
You know, you don't know how much I want to be soft.
Mm.
But you are soft and you want to be hard.
No.
Everybody wants to be what they don't, they are not.
Take
a stand, whatever you are, whatever handicap. Look, let me tell you, there are many things about you that others want to have.
It's true.
So number one, take a stand.
Take a stance and a posture.
I'm an overcomer. Me, an overcomer. And the obstacles were only brought because I am an overcomer.
Yes.
I'm an overcomer. Number two, overcome your handicaps by knowing that everyone has handicaps. Everyone, you are not the only one who has handicaps. As a matter of fact, there are people who have more handicaps than you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. Nobody has everything. Nobody. Actually, God didn't create anything perfect. He is perfect. It's the combination that makes it perfect. How do I know? Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 13. The Bible says over there that consider the works of God. How that you cannot make straight what the Lord has made crooked.
Mm-hmm.
Crooked means bent.
That's right.
Crooked means imperfect. Crooked means deformed. You cannot make straight. Consider the works of God. That is how God makes things. Do you know there is nothing straight in the world that God created? Nothing straight. When you see anything that is perfectly straight, it is artificial. It's man-made.
Yes.
Like the walls that you see. Sharp walls, like the rule, like the pencil, and they're all, look at every tree. There's nothing that is sharply straight.
It's true.
Nothing. Look at the fruit. Sharp straight with sharp curves, 90 degrees. Mm. It doesn't happen in unnatural. God never created anything that way.
Wow.
Consider the works of God. So
what a revelation.
It's not a mistake. Your handicap is not a mistake.
Amen.
It was not a mistake that I was born in this place. I was born a male. It's not a mistake that I don't know how to sing, but I know how to preach by God's grace.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's not a mistake.
It's not a mistake. It's not a mistake. That's how God created the nightingale and created also the crow. I happen to be more towards the crow side than the nightingale. My wife's on the nightingale side, but not the crow side. Well,
the Lord likes my singing.
We can then I can say, look, I preach. Now you come and sing. Beautiful. Sometimes all you need to do is to borrow somebody's strength as a bridge to your hidden manner. Because together we make it. That's why God brings people. Your relationship with other people has a problem sometimes. That is a reason why everything that is a handicap is not. Sometimes somebody's input will move you forward. Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, it's very important. Those who have what you don't have also lack what you have. I'll say it again.
Come on.
Those who have what you don't have, remember, they also lack some things you have. Everybody has a handicap.
That's true.
Maybe you have not talked to them.
Wow.
When will you, they tell you?
Yeah, they won't tell. Maybe you are single, they are married. Their handicap is that they feel restricted. Everything they want to do, they have to seek.
Have to ask.
A reconciling, and can we agree? And look, many people who are married are saying they wish they had enjoyed a little before they
married.
Many people who are not married say, Lord, when? It's
when,
not
Lord?
A handicap. It's not
when,
a
Lord?
Handicap. It's not a handicap. It's not a handicap. When your job place, there's a lot of work. It's not a handicap. Don't leave. Adjust.
Yes.
The place, they don't have much work. They also don't have much money to pay you.
That's true.
It's not a handicap.
Okay. So overcome. Let me read a scripture to you. Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
All of them. Hallelujah.
All.
What a word.
Oh, yeah. So afflictions, overcome them, overcome them, overcome them, overcome them. Uh-huh. Don't have a pity party, overcome them.
In the party.
Overcome that affliction. Let me tell you something. My brother was not very good. In fact, let's grab the third one. Says, overcome handicaps by thinking of a way to turn a handicap into an advantage. Find a way of turning your handicap into an advantage. Listen, my brother, my half-brother, the one who comes before me, he was not very good academically. I was the academic giant. I went through school. Anytime we were sitting in the same class, he would come and then I'll teach him. And then he'll pass the exam, but he didn't know. When we finished school, he was very good with his hands. I was going to school with my brains, but he developed his skill with his hands. Today, I say to the glory of God, he's so good without having to go to school, he can put together a speaker system, music system by himself. In fact, he has a brand name called Cortronics. His name is K-O-W, Cortronics. He has an amplifier. He has a music system that churches buy, was made right from the core by him.
Wow.
He has managed to turn, you know, everything.
Overcome
his handicaps by making it an advantage. Look at this guy. Look at this guy, Pastor Nick. What he has is no legs and everything, but he has a voice. He's using the voice. Emphasize what you have. Emphasize what you have to your advantage. What I have is preaching. What I have is a strong mind. What I have is academic ability. Emphasize it and turn it for your advantage.
What is it that you have? Good.
Don't overemphasize what you don't have. Emphasize what you have and turn it to your advantage. The snake has no legs, no... Because of that, it's even using it to escape his enemies. Because when he's passing, you don't feel it's coming.
You don't see him going.
Because of that, he's more protected. He has a longer life. Mm. You know, have you seen the lion trying to catch a snake? It's not, doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't.
So take it for your advantage and God will bless you. Or finally, overcome your handicaps by receiving supernatural strength for your particular handicap.
Oh, this is very important. Thank you.
What do I mean by that? That means that whatever it is that is not going well for you, pray about it. Ask the Lord to help you. The prodigal son had used everything and he was eating with pigs. And he decided to turn everything around. He rose up. Bible says that he came to his senses. He started applying the wisdom of the serpent. And he said, I will arise. I will go to my father. And I will say to my father, Father, I've sinned. I'm not even qualified to become a son. Make me one of your hired servants. He accepted his handicap and he asked for help, supernatural help from somewhere. And he was transformed. He was given a ring. A party was thrown, clothes. He didn't eat with pigs anymore. He got help. Ask for help. Some of us are too proud to ask for help. Some of us are too proud to even pray about the help. Some of us are too proud. Let me read a scripture to you. 2 Corinthians 12:8. Bible says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Ladies and gentlemen, when David realized he was a little boy, he was going to fight Goliath. He put everything aside and he prayed to God. God gave him 3 stones of wisdom. He overcame Goliath because of prayer. Because of prayer. The same thing happened when his wife and everybody was taken. Their people were taken when they went to fight. He went and he prayed, Lord, help me. And the Lord said, go and recover. Today, I don't know what your handicap is, but the question I'll ask you is, have you prayed about it? Have you asked for help? Have you talked to somebody about it? Have you looked at the other options that the Lord has given you? Have you started thinking that is not a disadvantage? It's actually a thing to make me take a stand to overcome. If it wasn't for the fact that my parents did not go to school, I would perhaps never have been a doctor because I would have taken it for granted. Sometimes it's because of your handicap that you are catapulted. Your ability to overcome is sometimes because of the pressure of where you are. The Bible says there's a great and effectual door is open unto me, but there are many adversaries. Anytime you see adversaries, opposition, handicap, it means there's a great door. It's time to push forward. It's time to ask the Lord for strength. Yes. It's time to look at the things that are to your advantage. It's time to start looking and taking a stand and realize that you are not alone. Amen. Don't become so discouraged. That handicap, you can overcome. God has a plan for you, and that plan will come to pass. The serpent is not crying. He doesn't even have tears. Have you seen serpentine tears before? They don't cry. They don't cry. They don't grumble. They are swift. They are smart. They are strong. They are well respected. They forced us to respect them and even to fear them. That is going to be your story.
Amen.
Whatever that handicap, God is giving you the ability to overcome. Whatever that handicap, it's a school thing, go. It's a job thing, do it. It's an application, apply. It is somebody told you your face is not nice, your body is this way, no problem.
No problem.
Your stomach may be big, but I can assure you, your face may be so beautiful.
Someone will like it.
Yeah, someone will like it. One day I told my wife, you know, my wife is not very endowed when it comes to the upper body, you know what I'm saying?
Hey.
So one day he was walking. I said, what are you? He was holding something. I said, what are you holding? There's nothing to write home. Anyway, but then one day I asked her, but you are tall. When God was blessing people with frontal elevation, where were you? Do you know the answer she gave me? And remember this answer. She said, I was standing in the line waiting for hips. Can't you see I'm well blessed with it?
I've
never
portion.
Forgotten that. Mm-hmm. She said, I got my portion there. Therefore, I'm not worried about frontal. No. I have enough on one side. Yes. God wants to remind you, you have enough. And that is how come, perhaps, he has a nice man like me.
Thank
God
you.
Has a nice present for you. The hidden yes. manna is for overcomers. The Amen. White stone is for overcomers. You will receive it. Be blessed.
Amen. Yeah.
Put your hands together. Let's rise to our feet.
Yeah. Amen.
What a blessing. Put your hand on your heart. Put your hand on your heart. And pray. Tell the Lord, make me wise like the serpent.
Lord, make me wise,
Lord,
like,
make
the
me wise like the serpent.
And make me harmless like the dove.
And make me harmless like the dove.
I pray to overcome my handicaps.
Yeah, overcome my handicaps.
I praise you for my handicaps.
I praise you for my handicaps.
If it was not for my handicaps, I would probably not be humble.
Yes,
so help
me God. Not be humble.
Now, today I want you to ask the Lord for strength. The Lord wants to give you the white stone. The Lord wants to give you the hidden manna from heaven. The Lord wants to give you what other people don't even believe that you can have. The Lord wants to give you salvation. The Lord wants to give you the best of everything. I want you to say this prayer after me. If that deficiency of your relationship with God needs to be corrected. It's a handicap. Your faithlessness is a handicap. God wants to fix it. Today, God wants to bring you faith. His word has come.
My handicap.
His help has come. Begin to say this prayer after me. Say, Almighty Father.
Almighty Father.
I surrender my life to you.
I surrender my life to you.
Transform me.
Transform me.
Through the wisdom of the serpent.
Through the wisdom of the serpent.
And the harmlessness of the dove.
And the harmlessness of the dove.
Save me from my sins.
Save me from my sins.
I believe. Jesus is the Christ. The Son of the Living God.
The Son of the Living God.
He died for me. And God raised him from the dead. By this faith, I am born again.
I am a child of God.
Please write my name in the book of life.
And fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ's mighty name.
Amen.
Wow. Weren't you blessed by that anointed word of God? Come join our services this and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on Zoom at meeting ID 934-809-4313 or in person at 5769 Shelby Oaks Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. Be blessed.